Is physical sexual desire the same as the desire for food and water, or should it be avoided?
It depends if you're a monk, yeah, absolutely. But I mean, there's four monks and 200 other people, so we're way in the minority. Now, I mean, it's a basic urge. It's a basic, it's a, you know, it's a fundamental to the human condition. And part of say monastic training is trying to channel that in different ways, and because we do look at the different fundamental draws to being and becoming. And identification, identity. And sexuality and sexual impulse is one of those. So as certainly for a lay person, then it's really important to have boundaries, because that's that sense of, how do you, in the same way that in the way you relate to food, you have to have boundaries. I mean, who doesn't like donuts?
Don't look at me. I love donuts.
No, we just said, it was Ajahn Karunanamo's birthday at the monastery a few days ago, and one of the things his mom used to do on his birthday was make an offering to the monastery and had a donut breakfast like first thing in the morning. So it was a real treat. And of course, his mom passed away about 6, 7 years ago, and so it hasn't happened. Then some astute layperson, who's sitting here, heard that and then arranged for a donut breakfast. So donuts are fresh in my mind. But so that there's natural attractions to ordinary things. But if we make, say, ordinary things like that a center focus of our life, then it gets complicated. So knowing boundaries, knowing restraint, it's not sort of like trying to shut it out completely, but it's like just being able to be willing to investigate what's the fundamental impulse, and in the end, what's the purpose of looking at that? So certainly within a lay context, then sexuality is ordinary. But if you're in a relationship, then it's just so important to have a commitment to that relationship. And the sense of trust that comes from, and this is true, whether in terms of the five precepts, the sense of trust and ease and well-being that arises when there is a confidence that one is not being, say, physically threatened by someone because they're virtuous and they're not prone to harming and taking the life of other living creatures or harming them in certain ways, or stealing, or lying, or no real boundaries around sexuality. So then the kind of, and there's one of the ways that the Buddha talks about the, say, the five precepts, say, not killing, not stealing, not engaging in sexual misconduct, and not lying or wrong speech, and refraining from intoxicants. Commitment to a certain clarity and sobriety is that he talks about them as the five great gifts. Oftentimes we think of gifts as something material, but the Buddha talks about these five precepts as he talks about. There are these five great gifts, and what are the five great gifts? And a great gift, like Mahadana, and this is big, big deal gift. Refraining from harming, refraining from stealing, taking what isn't given. All of the five precepts. He says, and why is that a great gift? It's because it's based in compassion and fosters trust amongst us as human beings. And it's an incredible gift to do that. So that in terms of our relationships and giving that gift of trust is so important. As I said, I mean, being a human being is tough already. Being able to give that gift of trust and confidence and ease is a tremendous, tremendous gift.